So Satan knows the only way you can help him is to allow disappointment to move into discouragement, to move from discouragement into what? Into despair, and then to doubt, and he becomes unbelief.
Hello, Saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
Today I'm going to begin another series on our series of lessons about the 12 revelations for supernatural living. 12 revelations for supernatural living, and I'm going to begin another segment. So far we have been talking about prosperity in salvation. We've talked about the preciousness of souls. We've talked about the promises for our services. And in our last segment, we've been dealing with the prayers of the saints. And this morning, I'm going to begin a new one. And it is the revelation on the pitfalls of Satan. The revelation on the pitfalls of Satan. A pitfall is a carefully concealed trap. Say that with me.
A pitfall is a carefully
concealed trap. Say that again. A pitfall is a carefully concealed trap. On the surface, it looks harmless. But when you walk on it, you will fall into the trap. And Satan is really good at it. And I'm just going to take my time and walk you through God's word for us to understand some of these basic things. Let's start from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we will read verse 27. It says, "And don't give the devil an opportunity." The King James says, "Do neither give place to the devil." I think it's the Good News Bible says, "Don't give the devil a chance." The NIV says, "Don't give him a foothold." The contest is about forgiveness. And he's reminding the church in Ephesus that if you don't forgive a person, you are actually giving Satan a chance to work. And in it, he reminds us that the devil does some things that are very important. And if the child of God will pay attention, he or she will be able to overcome. So the entire lesson will be around the next statement I'm about to make. And I need you to listen very carefully and please write it down somewhere. The devil cannot defeat you without your help. Satan cannot defeat you until you help him. And it is important that you let that thing sink into your spirit. I know people say, "Oh, the devil is power." No, he cannot defeat you. He's always looking for ways for you to help him. And as long as you help him, he will defeat you. Say that with me. The devil. The question we need to ask is why? Why is it that Satan cannot defeat us without our help? Because the scriptures teaches us very clearly that if you are a Christian, you are a born again believer, you have already overcome him. You start from the place of victory. You start from the place of victory, but you must learn to secure the victory. Do I need to explain that to you? Now, every soldier would understand that when the battle in Iraq was fought, they had to leave a certain number of soldiers around. Even though the victory was won, chances are the guys were going to come back. So they had to leave some soldiers around to secure their victory. Christ Jesus died on the cross, and he has won the victory. you and I ought to secure that victory. And whenever you give Satan a helping hand, you are defeating yourself, even though you're supposed to be victorious. Are you here with me? Now, that truth is not something I'm just going to say. I want to walk you through scripture for us to look at it. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. The child of God, the believer in Christ, is already victorious over the devil. In Mark, chapter 16, the 17th and the 18th verse. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out. Come on, read with me. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes. And if they should drink anything deadly, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will get well. The Bible says you have been made in such a way. If you believe in Christ, the scripture says you can drive out demons. I think it's a good place to say amen. You can drive out what? Demons. Go with me to the book of Luke chapter 10. Satan cannot defeat you until you help him out. And he's always working in such a way that you will help him out. If you realize something is happening, you need to ask yourself, how am I helping Satan in the midst of this? And if you understood that truth, husbands and wives, you will be careful. Sometimes there is no fight. And you start one, you are giving the devil an opportunity, and he's going to use it. You may feel you are right, but Satan is going to have a field day. Everyone to say amen. Are you in Luke chapter 10? Let's start from verse 17. The 72 returned, and this is about the disciples. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. The demons what? Submit to us. They were surprised because they were not expecting demons to submit to them. And the scripture says they did. Let's look at Jesus's response. He, that is Jesus, said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So he's saying Satan is already what? Falling. Look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, symbolic terms for Satan. Right? And over all the power of the enemy, nothing at all will harm you. Nothing at all will what? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We are trying to understand that the child of God is already victorious. You will not be overpowered by the devil until you help him out. And he's always doing all he can to make sure you help him. Are you Romans 8? Let's look at verse 33 to 37. Who can bring accusation? Underline the word accusation. Because the word accusation comes from another word, accuser. The meaning of the name Satan is accuser. It says, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? That is you. God is the one who justifies. 34. Who is the one who condemns? So no accusation and no what? Condemnation. Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? These are tools the enemy uses. Verse 36. As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 37. Please, everybody, read with me, shall we? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In all these things, all right, take the we and call your name. In all these things, I am more than a conqueror. Did it sink? Did it sink? In all these, in the accusations, in the condemnations, in his attempt to separate you, using many, many things. The scripture says, whether it's affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, you are more than a conqueror. That is something you must get deep into your knower. You have to let it sink in there. Because Satan is going to come to you and remind you, you are nobody. But you are somebody in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 16, where you're still looking at that concept, that I am victorious, you are victorious. Every child of God, you are victorious in Christ Jesus. Satan cannot overpower you until you help him out. Satan cannot overpower you until you help him out. Are you Romans 16, verse 20? Romans 16, the 20th verse. I will need you, please help me out. Let's read together. Go. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. What is God going to do? Crush Satan under your feet. Notice the word soon, because he's reminding them that it is something that is futuristic. So let's look at how he does it. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 12 from verse 7. God will crush Satan under. Why are you saying like you're afraid of Satan? I told you, if you don't help him out, he's defeated. The only way he wins is because you are giving him a helping hand. Are you in Revelation chapter 12? Let's look at the 7th verse. Revelation chapter 12 from verse 7. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. That is another description for Satan. The dragon and his angels fought, but he could not prevail, and there was no place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was thrown out, the ancient serpent. Notice the descriptions. Dragon, the serpent, old serpent, who is also called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. He was thrown to earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have now come, because the accuser of our brethren, right? So you can replace it. That's Satan, because the word Satan means what? Accuser. The accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been thrown out. If Satan is accusing you before God, telling God that you are not living like a believer, how are you going to stop him? You don't help him out by making the things he says true. But if they are true, you simply agree with God by simply saying, Father, forgive me. Then Satan's accusation ends. Because if God has forgiven you, what is he accusing you of? Are you with me? Now let's read verse 11 together, everybody. Shall we? Read. They conquered him. Pause. Let's leave day. I need you to use your name. Don't say I. Use your name. Ready? Read. Neil conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. For I will not love my life to the point of death. Do I need to explain that? As long as you love your life, you are helping him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego overcame because they did not love their lives. They told Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't care. If God comes, fine. He doesn't. It's also still the same way. If you kill us, we will still not what? Obey. Most of the time, love for self helps Satan. He knows we are not willing to obey God because we love ourselves too much. Remember, we started with this statement. The devil cannot, come on, talk to me. The devil cannot defeat me without my help. Look into the eyes of the person close to you. I didn't ask you to say anything. I said, just look them. Now, ask them a question. Can the devil defeat you. I need you to give them an answer. The devil cannot defeat me without my help. There is no way he can do it. I said there is no way. So I want us to begin to understand some basic truths. How then do we help him? It is only when we go along with his schemes. Many of us help Satan. When I was growing up, my mentor taught me something very important. He said, if somebody wants to pick a fight with you and you decide not to fight, would there be a fight? He taught me how to choose my battles, because not everybody is worth my energy. Satan is waiting quiet. These two people, I can't make them fight. But if I can cook up a scheme for one of them to say, I'm not going to take it. Woo, then he's having a field day. Go, people, go fight. And then we are there trying to make a case how good, how powerful we are. But Satan is scheming. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Today we will read all the scriptures together. Are you guys ready? Shall we? Go. So that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant. Are you ignorant of his devices? I'm going to open your eyes to some things, and you realize most of the time we are helping Satan now. And he's happy. We come to church. Father, we are praying. We are believing you for a mighty miracle. As soon as you get out of church, somebody says, hey, so how are things going? I don't know. Satan said, good, because you just helped me out. You negated everything you said in prayer, because your faith works before prayer, during prayer, and after prayer. Are you guys with me? The scripture says we are not ignorant of his devices. If we are not, then he cannot take advantage of us. But as long as we are ignorant, he will. He will do what? He was going to work his schemes. And today I want to take time and show you what I call one of his schemes. But it works in succession. And it starts with the word disappointment. Disappointment. People who are often disappointed ends up becoming discouraged. And discouragement leads to despair. Despair simply means you lost hope. And once you get to a place of despair, you will begin to doubt. And then doubt leads to unbelief. But Satan always begins with disappointment. He will make sure somebody disappoints you. And there is nothing wrong with disappointment. Hey, let me see by hand anybody in this room who have never disappointed anybody. And I know you just disappointed me by not telling the truth. You will disappoint someone. It's a normal thing in life. Because sometimes people get disappointed even when you are not aware that they are disappointed. Right? I remember I went for a meeting, and at the meeting, all senior pastors were supposed to sit at one spot, and the people were in three-piece suit. That day, I forgot my suit, and I went with a T-shirt. So I broke protocol. So they sat me with everybody else at the back. And the usher who insisted I have to sit at the back, because I was working with another pastor in his three-piece, and he kept telling them, no, he's a senior pastor. He said, no, he sit at the back. And I told my brother, just go sit there. We are all in the same room. We hear the same speakers. Don't worry. So I sat at the back, and I was supposed to teach. So when it was my turn and I was called to go teach, I finished it. When I sat down, the usher came. My brother, I'm really sorry, Pastor. Man of God, please forgive me. I didn't know. And I said, listen, don't worry about it. Did the word of God bless you today? He said, I did not even hear one thing because I felt so guilty. We're talking about being disappointed when you are not even what? Aware. The devil has his schemes. I like it in the King James. He said, lest he takes advantage of you because we are ignorant of his devices. As if the scripture, the King James language makes it look like he has certain gadgets. And he picks them when he needs them. And there's a way he works them out. Remember, we are talking about pitfalls. They are concealed what? Traps. So you start walking on them, not knowing what they will lead you to. Now, I wanted you to look at that cycle and you begin to see it starts with disappointment to discouragement to despair to doubt and unbelief. The real problem is not disappointment. The real problem is unbelief. So when he starts it, he knows exactly what he's doing. Satan begins with disappointment, but his focus is unbelief. Write this down. Satan is very patient. Somebody will disagree. But if he has to wait 5 years just to get you into one sin, he's going to be patient till he gets you there. Because he knows once he gets you there, there's no turning back. God is patient. Satan is patient. And he's very persistent because he knows what to offer you to get you. Are you in the book of Proverbs chapter 13? Proverbs 13. Let's look at the 12th verse. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Before we read it, please tell the person sitting next to you, Satan cannot defeat you. Come on, add the rest of it. Without your help. Let's start it again. Come on, go. Satan cannot defeat you without your help. Please don't help him. Because that's all he's looking for. Most of the time we help him, so it is as if Christ did not do anything on the cross, but he won the victory for us. Let's stop helping Satan now. Are you in Proverbs 13? Let's look at the second verse. Read with me, the 12th verse. Ready, read. Hope delayed makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. When desire is fulfilled, that is not disappointment. So when hope is delayed, then there is this appointment. Are you getting it? And the Bible says once hope is delayed, what happens? What happens? Your heart gets sick. So disappointment, hope delayed, is not an issue. If you are able to handle it well, so it does not get your heart sick. Whenever you are disappointed, it is an issue of your mind. Discouragement now brings your emotions into play. Are you guys following? When you are despaired, it's as if saying, you know what, this ain't going to work anymore, so you begin to give up. Doubt is a function of the head, but unbelief is a function of the heart. Can I explain it again to you? Suppose I am dealing with Alex, and I tell him, Alex, Jesus is Lord, and he says, I don't believe it. He has every right to say, I doubt it, because he doesn't know. But when I open the scriptures and show him where the scripture says, Jesus is Lord, and Jesus works in his life, and he sees that it takes only one who is Lord to do what he did, and he still says, I don't believe it, it is no more a function of the head, but it becomes woeful doubt, which we call unbelief. So Satan will begin with disappointment, but his real focus is to get you to the place of what? Next week, I'll look at the next set when he begins with dishonesty, but his focus is disobedience. Why is unbelief his focus? I want us to go through the scriptures and look at a few things. Why? Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. The Bible says, now without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Without faith, it is what? Without faith, it is impossible. So Satan knows the only way you can help him is to allow disappointment to move into discouragement, to move from discouragement into what? Into despair, and then to doubt, and it becomes unbelief. Once you are there, you receive nothing. Sometimes we say too many things that the devil is making me do it. He has no power over you. The only power is the one you gave him. So guess who gave it to him? Me and you did. So if you realize he has too much, go take it back. And I'll show you how to take it back. Amen. Another scripture. This one I want us to read. We are looking at unbelief and the troubles it creates. Mark chapter 6. It was a time when Jesus was moving from place to place, preaching and teaching. And he came to his hometown. And when he got there, they said, ah, is that not Joseph's boy? Joseph the carpenter. Is that not Joseph's boy? And they said, yeah. Let's read and find out what happened. Because before he got to this place, he had done so many miracles till he got to his hometown. Familiarity can destroy the move of God in your life. You are so familiar with how we worship. Oh, we sing 2-3 songs. After that, we are done. Can you guys just get it over with so I can sit down? But on the day when you walk into the presence of God, that the power of God may be present. In fact, if you read, the Bible says the power of God was present to heal. But he couldn't do it because of the people's unbelief. But unbelief began with familiarity. I will show you how it starts with disappointment. Because anytime you are disappointed with something, you become so familiar and say, this thing is always going to look like that. Never walk into the house of God with that attitude. Did you guys understand what I just said? I said, never walk into the house of God with that attitude. Let me give another dimension of it. My mentor and me, we can play. In fact, when he visits and then we are home, we go to the basement, we talk, we can talk about every crazy thing. But I always draw the line, knowing that that is my mentor. God is going to use the man to speak something into my life that it would take me 10 years to understand. So I draw the line of familiarity. By that, I am saying, some of you play with me. Familiarity would destroy the things I say to you. We need to play, because by now you know I'm not the kind who want to raise myself. But you in your head must draw your own line so that you can receive the truth that will come to bless your life.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.